special report. Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
Welcome back to Information Operation. We are honored to have Michael Yon with us. I've been following his work for a long time. He's a former Green Beret and an intrepid war correspondent, independent journalist, and the man to go to for anything Panama. So, Michael, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, I'm in Panama. There's the Panama Canal over there. You know, this is a little center of the universe for things that are important to the United States and to China and to Japan and to, well, a lot of people. And so that's why I spend so much time here.
You know, I was telling you beforehand, I used to work down there a good bit with some of the banks when I was during my Wall Street days. And they were pretty pro-American at that time. But, you know, there were other influences coming in, you know, people putting money there and, you know, laundering money and storing it there because it was working. But it shifted more towards China, obviously. And we allegedly got some changes here with the, you know, sale of the Panama Canal operation. But what's the story behind that for real? I mean, I saw some of your stuff saying maybe China hasn't gone away at all.
No, I mean, China is still invading here. We know, just as one example, in 2023 alone, more than 25,000 Chinese came through the Darien Gap, and many of those stayed here, right? We know that for a fact. We don't know how many came through that aren't in the records. That's just 2023, and they continue, and they're coming through all sorts of different ways, too. They fly in, they come through Costa Rica, they come many different ways to Panama, but not just Panama. I've seen them doing it in Armenia and Georgia and, you know, coast to coast, United States, Netherlands. I look at this all over the world, right? Thailand, they're slowly just doing what China does. You know, I spent about 19 years in Asia and China, significant time in China and Tibet and all that. I've seen how they do it, right? I was in Hong Kong when they finally took it over, or actually they kicked me out just before they took it over. But I was there for about 7 months leading up to it. And then they finally kicked me out. But the way that they did it, one of the main weapons was weapons of mass migration, right?
Yeah,
they came in there slow but sure. Like the Hong Kongers would tell me all the time, they just been slowly bringing people in every day. And they did it for years. The mainland Chinese slowly brought people into, they took jobs as professors and teachers, obviously, and rewrote history books and said, you shouldn't speak Cantonese, you should speak Mandarin. They became police. They became politicians, of course. And before you know it, they took over the cockpit, right?
And
so they set the stage. You know, as a military man, you know, it's about conditions, right?
Yeah.
If you want to win or you want your enemy to lose, you want to set conditions for success. and they set conditions, and they've done the same with Taiwan as well. And they're doing the same with Thailand. I know people that are in Thailand watching this will go, no, not Thailand. Listen, I've been all over Thailand. If you web search my name in Thailand, you'll see me flying around with the prime minister and stuff. I spent years running around Thailand because Thailand is also strategic, vital terrain that most people don't actually get. It's like the hyphen in Indo-Pacific, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so Thailand is very important. And at least two parties seem to be trying to destabilize Thailand. That would be China and the United States. And I can I can back that up. If we had a couple of hours, I could go into details. But the bottom line is...
Well, we'll have you back, but keep going.
I mean, but and the same here in Panama. I see two major players destabilizing Panama. And, well, first of all, their own self.
Three,
if you include that. And
just like Western Europe and the U.S., but
Exactly. Yeah. Like Canada. They're really stable until a breeze comes by. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're like a spinning top. Yeah. We're so stable and boom, you know, so, spinning out of control. New Zealand was the same. Right. And so the bottom line is Panama is a big juicy lamb walking around bleeding, and it's got bleeding, and it's got a garland of pork chops around its neck, and it's defenseless against these predators, these carnivorous predators that want Panama. Panama will always be like this and always has been since the time that immemorial, since before Christopher Columbus sailed up the coast in 1502, 1503, and Balboa started the first actually settlement in the mainland Americas. He started it in Darien, in a place called Santa Maria del Darien. That was in 1510. It's always been in contention. This is a path between the continents as a walking route. And I mean, how did those people get in South America? I don't know. They may have come across the Bering Straits and walked down. I do not know. Nobody really knows. But the bottom line is they're all related. And this is a path between the continents and has been for a very long time. And then when Balboa came and he tried to make a path between the seas, that's what Christopher Columbus was trying to do, but he just found it and sailed down the coast. But then Balboa came back. He started Santa Maria La Antigua. He ended up getting beheaded in Darien in 1519. You know, and then the Scottish tried to make a path between the seas, and they went bankrupt in 1699-ish, 1698-99.
Were they actually digging a canal? Were they actually digging the canal, or were they actually digging a canal?
No, ever since Christopher Columbus was here, 1502, 1503, he just sailed, and Balboa was it. They tried to make a path, and they were going to use a path using like donkeys and Indians to carry stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, to carry cargo between the South Sea. They called the South Sea was the Pacific, and the North Sea was the Atlantic side, the Caribbean, right? Because Panama, the long axis, is actually mostly east-west. It's not north-south. Most people seem to think that it's north-south, but it's not. The canal actually runs more or less north-south, right? It doesn't run east-west, right?
Right.
And so when Balboa came and he got up on top of that hill and he said, hey, there's the South Sea, he actually proclaimed it for Spain. You know, somebody alerted the natives. He thought he discovered the Pacific, basically. So anyway, somebody alert the Chinese and the Japanese and the Hawaiians, right? So then the Scottish came. Well, the Spaniards tried to do it, and with some, you know, more or less success. But Santa Maria La Antigua del Darien, that first town, that, you know, there was one in you know, San Juan was started before, but that was on an island. But the first town on the mainland by Westerners was there in 1510. But the Indians and the diseases ran them off 14 years later. But the Spaniards were doing a little bit of cross between the seas. Anyway, the Scottish showed up a couple hundred years later, and they started their Darien scheme, right? And they raised a bunch of bonds. This is very important for Scotland. Scottish don't know this history, right?
So interesting.
Most of them don't know this. It's very important for Scotland. They tried to make a path between the seas, the Scottish did, and they raised a bunch of money from Scottish people, and they started one down in Darien, right? The New Caledonia. Caledonia is the old name for Scotland, right? And they also called it New Edinburgh. But in any case, 2,000 dead Scottish people later, they were bankrupt. And, attacks from the Indians, attacks from the Spaniards, and attacks from yellow fever and everything else under the sun. And so they went bankrupt. And so in 1707, that's when the United Kingdom absorbed Scotland because they went bankrupt in the Darien Gap in Panama, right? So that is why Scotland is part of the United Kingdom today, because they went bankrupt in the Darien, right? And then came, of course, the French. They tried to build a canal across the Darien, this was called the Darien Isthmus Act, the Isthmus of Panama. The Panama Isthmus is also called the Isthmus of Darien, or the Darien Isthmus, right? And so so they tried to build their canal across the Darien Isthmus. And then, of course, they had succeeded with the Suez, and De Lesseps, who was so successful there, you see his name all over Panama City here. He was, his name was, appellated to this canal project, and France went bankrupt. So then the United States came and tried to do the impossible, and people were like, French couldn't do it. Americans have no chance, and did it. And so this canal opened in 1914, and it's been, this is a huge pork chop. Ever since then, everybody's always going to fight for Panama is what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
This is strategic high ground. It's this, right? And of the seven major choke points in the world, this is probably certainly the number one for the United States. Then you've got the Suez. You've got the Strait of Malacca, very important for the world and Asia in particular. Strait of Hormuz, of course, Bab al-Mandab. You've got the seven major. This is the most important one for us. Of course, everybody wants the northern route. I went up there and looked at some of that last year, I was in northern Canada looking at. But the bottom line is, this is so important because this is a path between the continents, and they are building a road to Colombia, right? A lot of people say that's not true. You can disregard those people because they don't know what they're talking about. I'm the one that found it. I physically found it, right? It's there. I photographed it many times. I've been down there. I was just down there again about a month ago. They are 100% building two bridges. They're heading straight to Colombia. If you line up and take your compass out and then plot it out on the map, the azimuth goes right down the old route that people talked about for hundreds of years of building a road to Colombia. It's right there. It's 100%, 0 degrees deviance from the route to Colombia, right? It's not off to this little.
And that's Chinese owned, right? Or what?
Actually, nobody will admit to actually who's funding it. I came up and I talked with the Panamanian government. The first thing people in the government said, and I think that they honestly didn't even know it was being built, the ones I first talked with. And they're like, we're not building any bridges down there. I'm like, yes, you are. And they're like, no, we're not. And I'm like, yes, you are. And they're like, we're the government. We know we're not. And I'm like, you see the mud on my boots? I was just there 6 hours ago. I just drove up there's two bridges you're building, right? I just drove up from there. I found them. They're 100%. They're under construction as of this morning, right? And they've been being constructed for a long time because I found them down there. And I've been looking for them for a long time because I thought that you would eventually do this. And so I found it by predictive. I just kept going and looking and going and looking, and it was always a dry hole. And then one day I found they're actually building right now.
So what did they say to that when you confronted them?
They're like, So in any case, people kept denying it. So I started taking people down. I took Epoch Times. I took Ann Vandersteel. I took Brett Weinstein. I took Dr. Chris Martinson. I took Masako Ganaha from Japan. I took Laura Loomer. I took all these people down. And then it was undeniable, right? And so, when Epoch Times did their stories and Laura Loomer and Ann Vandersteel and, Brett Weinstein and Chris Martin and Chris Martinson and Masako Ganaha, you couldn't deny it anymore, right? And so it's being built. So they're going to open that road to Colombia. That's really obvious. And the Chinese have a book called Panama, the Belt and Road Initiative. It's called China's Belt and Road Initiative, Panama. Right, you can find it online. It's a softcover book, and it maps out going straight through the Darien. Right, so when I was down there looking, it wasn't like random looking; it was very informed, targeted looking. Right, and because I'm like, if I were going to build a road down here, it would be down the road that was already surveyed like hundreds of years ago. Right, it would be that route. Right, and it would be the ant trail that the ants have already found would be the logical way to do it. Right, and that's exactly what they're doing. That's why I read all these old books, man. Everything you need to read is in old books. You see this stuff? It's all in here. It's all so, in the old books, man.
I think we must be brothers from another mother, because I think that that Americans know nothing about the history. I've done a lot of work up the Caribbean chain of all the history there and the fights between all the European powers. You know, where does bacon come from? It was a French word because the pirates were eating pork on the island Tortuga, and the French called it bouchon, and that's where buccaneer came from. So, you know, all this history is down there, man. I mean, it's fascinating. So good on you for doing that.
And you know why there's pigs all over the world, right? It's because they were seeding the pigs on the islands. And that's why a lot of Pacific Islanders call, you know, that were many were cannibals. That's why they call human flesh long pig, because it tastes like
Wow.
So next time you're eating bacon, think about that long pig.
So this cost us what, close to 40,000 lives in Panama?
No, that's nonsense. Really? Actually, I've got a book right here. It happens to be on the 1913. This is the report to the Panama Canal Commission, actually. And it talks about the casualties in here. Of course, the canal opened months later.
So we are in the factory in Kentucky. This is Alp World HQ, and we are at the end of the packing line. So I'm going to show you how it works. We have the card. Throw it in there. There's a packing slip. And then you have the Alp. And four, but that seems honestly like a lot. Three now, but it's good. You just pack a punch that, you know, for a normal 18 brand, it'd be like eight. You know, we think three is fine. Next one. Again, four. I'll throw three in just to keep it fair. Okay. There you go. So you can see you can get fast at this. And really, it's just a matter of repetition. This is kind of the assembly line that, you know, Henry Ford devised so long ago.
Tucker is stealing all the Alp.
It only cost maybe 300 or 400 American lives.
Really?
Now there were thousands of others who died, but it wasn't anywhere near 38,000. It wasn't. That's just nonsense. That's just Trump doing Trump stuff.
Interesting. But that's a myth, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's actually just bullshit. I mean, the numbers are right here. And then it's like, and so as soon as he came out with that, I'm like, where did he come up with that? And I thought, well, he'll probably correct it in the future. And he just keeps doubling down on 38,000. And every time he says that, at this point, it's just a lie, right? And the first time he could say, oh, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe he misspoke the notepad or something, or maybe somebody misinformed him. Then it's just bullshit. It's Trump being bullshitty. So, but the bottom line is this canal is very important to the United States. It's this important to the United States. Mm-hmm. And Panama is in violation of the treaty. There's no question about it, right? And so this is absolutely vital to us. We actually made Panama, right? This used to be Colombia, where I'm sitting now. And we made it so that we could make the canal, actually. You know, the canal opened in 1914. You know, when the Federal Reserve Act occurred, 1913. This is all related. This is not separate from each other. I mean, the bankers and everybody that were involved, it's the same. It's the same people, right? Wow. And so when we gave the canal back, if you read the book, actually one great book that fell on the floor here. If you read the book, The Path Between the Seas, when did this book come out? 67 or something? I don't remember. But anyway, this is a great book, man. Mm. You got to read this book to understand the more history of that. It's not old, but it's certainly not out of date. But if you want to read about why we gave the canal away, a very interesting book is The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yes.
So if you read this book and The Creature from Jekyll Island together, you will have a really kind of it was the bankers and whatnot who made the Panama Canal. And let me show you some other stuff. This is super interesting. And it was the bankers who took it away. That's why people I could go on for hours on this, but the bottom line is when Carter gave it to Panama, he didn't give it to Panama. He gave it to the bankers, right? And that's straight up. I mean, that's like the Panamanians, of course, think, hey, they gave us our canal back. You never had the canal. It wasn't your, it's like rebuilding Afghanistan. Afghanistan was never built. You know, it's like, we didn't give you the canal back. We formed Canada out of a rib of Colombia, right? And we formed Panama to make the canal, and then we made the canal, right? And so, and then the globalists, using Carter as their condom, gave it to the banks and said, we're giving it to Panama. Okay, we're going to give it to Panama, but we're really giving it. Here's Panama. But they really gave it to the banks. But
which takes it back to, you know, the City of London and all that stuff. Back here, it's Scottish, you know, all of it's tied up. The Titanic, all of that stuff.
Oh, look. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, yeah, those passenger lists.
Yeah.
I was looking at passenger lists yesterday. This book is the 1915 exposition in San Francisco. It's quite famous. 1915, mm-hmm. The canal opened up, right? So this book actually came out in 1915. And I found it in an antique bookstore, and I bought it, obviously, because it's here. but that was interesting because the canal opened up, and then these bankers and business interests, which is, you know, basically the same, they came together, had this huge exposition. They said 20 million people were there, and only 1 million people lived in San Francisco. It's like 19, I don't know if it's true, but that's according, right? And so what this book is sort of like, it's almost like the CIA fact book, and you know that, but it's like an old version of, and it's basically like, you know, in Uruguay has all this, you know, my bookmark is actually gold back. It's a little currency or whatever you want to call that. Anyway, this book describes like, you know, what Uruguay has, what all these different country has, and how you can basically use the canal to trade between, say, Uruguay and wherever you want to trade it, right? So, so in addition to making the canal, then they really set so that, you know, and the bankers are there. So if you have a business interest in Uruguay or Brazil or someplace, we'll give you a loan to help get your business going between Uruguay and Japan, right? And so I mentioned Japan and Uruguay because in this book, they're talking about Uruguay, how many cattle they have and the water resources and all that. And then right after that, it's a Japanese section, right? So I mean, because now you can connect Uruguay, which is on the Atlantic side of the South America, and go through the Panama Canal, right? You can have your ship go to Uruguay and stop somewhere else and pick up other stuff in Brazil or whatever and come right through the Panama Canal and go straight to Japan. Right?
So they were offering loans to people to build businesses through the canal is what you're saying.
So it's a brilliant move on their part. And there is nothing per se bad about that, right? There's nothing per se bad about expediting global trade. I tell you what, man, yesterday I spent hours going through old ship logs from 1850 to 1852-ish. It was four books in the Balboa Library here next to Hutchison Ports, actually. And I was looking at the ships that were coming into San Francisco. It was the ship logs of passengers and cargo coming in. And it's four books. It's like, you know, big stack of books, right? So I spent hours looking at those. It's fascinating when you look at how big the ships were in say, 1850. They were big ships, man. I mean, they're not the Neo-Panamax size, but they're, you know, you would have, you know, 400 Chinese coming over with a ton of opium, that sort of thing, to San Francisco. Meanwhile, the Chinese are like, hey, we're being destroyed by the British with opium. And I'm looking at these ship logs yesterday and came across all these ships by coincidence with Chinese going to San Francisco with a lot of opium, right?
Wow.
Wait a minute. Wow. Anyway, I just happened to run across that looking at other stuff. But, you know, different ships with, you know, 200,000 oranges and all kinds of stuff like that. Not just oranges, but it'll be like 200,000 oranges and 300 passengers. And these are big, big ships, you know, gunpowder, gold, you know, big stuff.
Wow. So when I was down there in the early 2000s on business and I went to the locks on the canal and it seemed very antiquated at the time. Has it gotten better? Have they improved the equipment or is it still like needs work? What do you think?
Well, I visited one of their fire stations about a month and a half ago, and they're about half manned. And this is a fire station by Agua Claras Lock. I mean, so if you have one of these, you know, car carriers with these electric cars catch on fire, as they are habitually doing now, I mean, that could destroy the lock, right? I mean, that's quite significant, to put it mildly. That there has not been any major problem with the Panama Canal since 1914 is a testament to the incredible construction of the canal. Now, since then, after we gave the canal to the globalists and said we gave it to Panama, they have built another canal and Panama says that, you know, we built that canal. Okay, whatever. And so they built the Neo-Panamax locks, right? So there's actually parallel canals, but they use the same Gatun Lake. And so there's on the ends, there's separate locks for bigger and then the older ships, which are still big, but they're smaller. Right.
So what about Chinese involvement? You know, the operators of the ends of the canal have been sold, but what's the real story on China in Panama right now?
Well, let's zoom out and look at this globally. China is doing their Belt and Road Initiative, of which this is one of the most important components, right? They've also opened a train all the way from Shanghai to Rotterdam, which I've been to the Shanghai side and the Rotterdam side. I mean, they are, you know, they're doing this down to Thailand right now. I was just down in Thailand looking at it. They're building that rail down from China, which is already in Thailand now. And and they're going to build a passage through what's called the Kra Isthmus. Kind of looks like the Panama Isthmus. Well, all isthmus kind of look the same. They're an isthmus, right? But between Thailand and Malaysia, there's an isthmus called the Kra Isthmus, K-R-A. K-R-A, it means turtle in Thai language, Kra, so turtle isthmus, basically. And so when China opens that up, that train will go right down through there. That will allow some of their traffic to bypass the Strait of Malacca, right? Now, importantly, China is building another canal in Cambodia that splits off from the Mekong River, because now the Mekong River Delta goes out for, I have a map in my head, so I'm, you know, so I know not everybody's tracking on this. So if you've got a map if in front of you, if you look at it when I'm talking, you'll see what I mean. But the Mekong River dumps out, the Delta is in Vietnam, right? So all that traffic, Mekong is, it's like the Mississippi of Asia, right? So all that traffic out and in from the Mekong goes through Vietnam, goes through their Mekong River Delta. Now, as the Mekong River goes through Cambodia, you can build a canal over to the Gulf of Thailand, right? Gulf of Siam is the old name, right? And so if you build that canal, which they're working on right now, then that will allow you to not go through Vietnam anymore. And you can shoot across the Gulf of Siam right through that other those other terminals that they're building on the Kra Isthmus and bypass the Strait of Malacca. Strait of Malacca is one of the seven major naval choke points in the world, of which Panama is one, Suez Canal, Bab el-Mandeb, Strait of Hormuz, Strait of Malacca, right? And a few others, but those are the ones that we're concerned about right now. So those are, that's vital. So China is bypassing the Strait of Malacca, because Strait of Malacca is very easy to close down. It's approximately as easy to close as this, right? And except it would not be permanent shutting Strait of Malacca. If you damage this one badly, it wouldn't be permanent. Whatever damage you did would not be permanent, but it could take years to repair. Like if you,
right.
And a lot of people think that they come up with new ideas about how they could destroy the Panama Canal. Trust me, they knew all this in 1900. You know what I'm saying? By 1914, you should see the defenses that were here. There was much higher defenses all the way up until we gave the canal back. We had significant defenses here, right?
Yeah.
And now it's naked. This canal is absolutely naked and defenseless. It is just like nothing. And it's, you know, it's based on everybody's goodwill not to do something. Now, it's unlikely that anybody's going to think of any new way to do it except through software or something like that, or causing a ship to go off course and hit a bridge or run into the locks or whatever. But in reality, the basic components are the same. You know, it's Madden Dam and blah blah blah. Everybody knows where all the vital points are, and they're naked. I mean, they're defenseless. Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's very important, because this would, if this goes down, that's especially if the Suez and this are down at the same time. And, you know, with the war in the Middle East, when Israel with the Gaza thing and the Houthis firing missiles caused a lot of traffic from the Suez to basically go to a trickle. Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of that traffic was coming through here through the Panama Canal. So you can only reroute so much. You can reroute all you want, but at expense, right?
And yeah.
At expense in time and in money.
So What about all this talk of Trump? What do you think about Trump, you know, getting a military plan to like resecure the canal? Do you think that's a smart thing to do, or from a geopolitical sense? I mean, we can talk about legally another time, but what do you think of that?
If you're going to protect the canal and you're going to get serious about it, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no defenses on the canal right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't exist. And also Panama is in violation of the treaty. There's no question mm-hmm. about it. Right. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of Panamanians want us to take it. They're very clear about that. They tell me every day. And then there's others that threaten to destroy it. And they could damage it very badly. And I'm like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I mean, if you do that, the amount of bloodshed that will result of that will be significant. You know, I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I saw what will happen if you do something like that. All these, you know, places where people live around the canal, they may be cleared out, and they may go right back to the old canal zone, buffer zone, 10 miles, right? I mean, this is no joke. I mean, be very careful. You got to think these things through. You know, there's a statue of Einstein's head down the road from me here, because he was here before, right? I'm like, I published that yesterday on Twitter. I'm like, think about it. You know what I'm saying?
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
You got to think this thing through before you start pretending that you're going to go do something or actually doing something in the canal, because they will track you down. They will track you down, and you'll be erased from the earth, right?
Yeah.
This is no joke. And so, people seem to think that they don't realize the level of intelligence that the United States has, right? Mm-hmm. They don't realize that every little thing that they're putting on Twitter and every little place they go with their phone for the last 5-10 years, it's all stored.
Oh, I know.
They know exactly what time you go to the gym. They know exactly where you go to eat. They know where your girlfriend is. They know all that stuff, right? There is no way that you're going to live where you live now and actually threaten the canal, because they'll come get you, right? And so, and they know who you meet. They know who you call. They know when you go to church, right? And so this is quite significant. Now, I think that the U.S. military is looking at building, or the U.S. government is looking at building, at least 3 bases here. I do not know that for a fact. I've been told that Hegseth is coming down in April, right? Again, I don't know. Those things can change as well. But I think that we'll build a base, I'm guessing, in the Darien, and maybe a couple up here. But I don't know. But maybe Jungle School and other things as well, kind of minor things.
Yeah.
You know, our SF is down there right now. Special
Forces. Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure.
I see them down there sometimes. And I mean, they're, sure. We go in the same areas, because I'm out. Now, when it comes to the weaponized migration, it's not migration, it's an invasion. You know, this book is written by a socialist, Weapons of Mass Migration. Mm-hmm. And the Darien is very important. It's a path between the continents, right? And so those camps down there have not been disassembled at all. I know from my sources, the United States is actually looking at expanding the camp infrastructure down there. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense on planet Earth to expand the camps down there to deport people. No. If you're expanding the camps, 100%, that's to invade more. And keep in mind, BlackRock, Fink, he's openly, like 4 days ago or 5 days ago, he said on a video, I saw it, he's like, he's all for continuing to bring
Yeah, and he just bought the canal too, or portions of it.
Well, he didn't actually buy it yet, but he's working on it. And the Hutchison, I just flew over that. I got a helicopter the other day and flew over it. But that's right over here, actually. Is the Balboa. It's Balboa Ports, but it's Hutchison Ports runs it right now, and China's throwing some wrenches into him buying it, but maybe he'll buy it. But the bottom line is, China and BlackRock want the invasions to continue through Panama. Both of them, right?
Of course.
So both of them want it. And the United Nations wants it. And the United States, therefore, we're not disassembling it. You know, I just said, just told Bannon this. I've published it many times now. We're not disassembling the camps. We're not disassembling the United Nations. It's like turning off the water spigot. Sure, the flows to the Darien are down to maybe 2% what they were last year. I was just down there again. However, the plumbing is fully in place. All that you have to do is, if you don't do anything,
who's running those camps?
Turn itself back on.
Who's running those camps? DHS? I mean, who is it?
Oh, DHS. Yeah. I was down there on April 19th, 2022, I think it was, when Mayorkas came down and four Blackhawks with Laura Richardson, the commanding general of Southcom, Ambassador Aponte, the U.S. ambassador, they all came down and they landed right in front of me. I was physically present, right? And they went into a San Vicente camp, which our government's talking about is building that up now more, right? And I call that China camp because that's where most of the Chinese come through, is that camp. It's called San Vicente here, right? And so they were there. So Mayorkas came and brought more money. And you look at my imagery from before, because I'm down there all the time. I've been in that camp like 100 times, at least 100 times, right? And I've been in the other camps like Las Blancas 50 or 100 times, probably more like 100 on that one as well. And in Bajo Chiquito, deep in the jungle, 50 times probably. Canam and Brio, probably 30 or 40 times. All these camps, I've been to all of them, right? I'm very familiar with this architecture. You can't come through the Darien Gap without me figuring it out, right? And so the point is, I mean, I know people in all those villages, right? And the point is it's clearly not being torn down, and it's clearly they're talking about building it up. Why would you build that up? It makes no sense. Now, people immediately say, well, it's to deport them. Bullshit. That makes no sense whatsoever. Makes zero sense to use San Vicente or any of those camps to bolt. First of all, they're not going to walk back through the Darien Gap. They're not going to do that. And secondly, that's not what it's about. Panama, about four days ago, I published it yesterday, a translation.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. You see that Panama is talking about, you can stay here. Right. And I just published it on my Substack. So if you look at my Substack, Michael Yon, Y-O-N is my last name, Yankee Oscar November,
we'll put that out with this interview and put it in the notes. So
I translated I had somebody translate it to English. And I put the Spanish original version up there as well. So you can see that they're basically, if you come here, you can stay, right? And so that's it. So they know that if they can get their little feet into Panama, and I'm telling you, Panama, the replacement population is here, right? Mm-hmm. It's coming in more, and they're going to use those camps because everybody wants Panama. They don't want the Panamanians. They want Panama, and they want cheap labor. And I keep telling the Panamanians, you own what you can defend, bottom line. The only thing you own is what you can defend or what nobody else wants that's stronger than you. That's true. This is the law of the jungle, right? And the global law of the jungle. That's how it really operates, right? There's peace when it serves the interest of these
cartel.
Incredible oligarchical systems. There'll be peace when it suits them. When there's war, there's the numerous galaxies of globalists and they overlap a lot and they, you know, synergistically work on a lot of things, and then they fight. Like the Panama Canal, China wants the canal open. They're not going to destroy the canal unless we're in kinetic war with them, in which case they might do it. In which case, having a port here is not going to, they can destroy it in so many ways. They don't really need to have a presence here to do it. The Japanese and the Germans had significant plans to do it in World War II, and somehow we kept them from doing it. I mean, they had spies living around here and everything else. They had, it's unbelievable. That it's fascinating to read about how the Japanese and Germans Japanese made specific submarines to do this, to launch aircraft from the submarines, right?
Wow.
So, in the United States, we had our own defenses, like having people all up and down the canal in the jungles with these, smoke pots, so you know, so that whenever something happened, they would just light, you know, thousands and thousands of smoke pots and basically put a cloud of smoke over the canal. So they had, you know, in whatever direction the wind was going, you know, you would. And one soldier, I found this in the old book just last week. He was he was a sergeant, a young soldier thing. So when the central siren rings, everybody else is supposed to ring their sirens. That's the first thing you do is central siren. Everybody else rings their sirens like there's an air attack or something coming. So you ring your siren and then you go light your smoke pots, right? And this one young sergeant, he's like, you know, my guys are always taking off and going out with the hookers and drinking beer and stuff, and they should be here at the smoke pots. And he was the NCOIC, he was a young sergeant. So he decided to just ring his siren, not realizing that somebody else would hear it, and the whole canal lit up, like all across from end to end. Everybody was doing their sirens. Next thing you know, I think there was like 79 fighter aircraft in the air. There was all the ships were turning around, and you know, and the forces were coming to the canal and getting on into their ammunition was being fired. Actually, it listed how much ammunition was fired. It was a ton, man. There was nobody coming. It was just this young sergeant doing young sergeant stuff. And he admits to it in the book. And he's like, anyway, so then this big investigation came because they found out, you know, we have some holes in our defenses here. And the Japanese and Germans really were making comprehensive plans to take it out. A lot of people are wondering, why did the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor instead of Panama Canal? Because that's what America thought. They're going to attack. Number one target is the canal. Number two is Pearl Harbor, right? Number two. Maybe that's the – anyway. But so so this general, two generals came down, and one thing led to another. This young sergeant ended up in OCS. You can't make up this stuff. So he's quite like, you know.
He failed upwards.
He's like – well, actually, he seemed like a pretty serious guy. He just did – you know how young soldiers can do – young soldier stuff. And and I think they saw some promise in the guy, and he got chastised pretty hard on the low levels, but a couple of the generals actually are like, we need to raise this one up. Got some fight in this one. That was back when they were selecting for fighters, you know, and they could correct some mistakes and not throw you into the water for it, you know.
Well, hey, Michael, we want to stay on this story, man. I hope you'll come back and talk more in depth about this. Is there anything else you want our audience to know right now about what's happening down there?
I'm publishing on Substack every day now. And I'm about to put something up of interest actually. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, none of the major anybody, bloggers or news or anybody, there's no presence here except for me actually, and other people in local press, and then people that pass through, mostly people that I bring actually. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like one of the most important spots in the world, and people are talking about Candace fighting with that Canadian professor guy. Then I was on a show a couple of times, but I mean, you know what I mean? They're talking about nonsense when we're talking about, you know, big boy war going on here, which is about routes and resources, right? You know, the thing going on in Gaza, that's about Suez Canal. That's about Ben Gurion Canal. That's about the energy off of Gaza. And that's about the Indo-European corridor, right? That's what that's really about. You know, so it's about routes and resources, right?
So true. That's what I'm looking at. You could escalate that to the Ukraine war, and all of that is about resources. But we'll put this on our military channel, armedforces.press, also. But anyway, thank you very much, man. I want to have you back soon. I promise you we're going to stay on this and get it out there. So anyway.
I'm down there all the time, man. So constant up that I'm either here or in northern Canada looking at it or in straight at Malacca. I'm looking at this globally because you can't understand this by just looking, you know, you're not going to understand the climate by looking at the weather around you, you know, not
no, really totally get understand it.
The climate either, yeah. But you have to really go out and look.
Cool. Michael, we'll have you back. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate all Thanks, the time Todd. You gave us. All right. Take care.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all time highs actually. And keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.